Here at Madison Park, we value the rhythm of something we call Rethink Christmas, a time of year to examine Christmas, but most importantly, to prioritize the reason for the season so that more people get to experience Emmanuel, God with us. It's a time to take a hard look at materialism and consumerism in an effort to live more counterculturally, in an effort to follow Jesus more closely. We also recognize that this year has been and is different for many of us, so we're going to rethink Christmas accordingly. We're going to ask each family to prioritize what matters most so that you and those you influence have the opportunity to experience the blessing of a God who came to us in Christ to be our Savior. So this year, we're going to simplify Rethink Christmas collectively as a church. We're going to partner with Operation Christmas Child to bring tangible gifts alongside an invitation to the gospel journey. If you're able to give over and above that this year, please know that leadership will use your financial gifts to meet the ministry needs of our local, national, and international ministry partnerships. So whatever this year has been for you, we pray that this series will be a gift to you as we rethink Christmas.
We certainly are living in a time where it is hard to agree on much of anything, but can we all just agree that I failed us? Wouldn't that bumper video have been so much better if Jamie would have been dressed in an elf costume, popping in and out? Yes, that won't happen again. We will make sure that Jamie gets his elf costume to help us rethink Christmas better. It was the 1800s. There was a group of people choosing to wrestle. And out of their wrestling, something came that absolutely transformed the way you and I live day by day. They asked this question of what would it be like if we walked into rooms that were dark and we could just flip a switch and light would pop on. And so in the 1800s, a small group of people went to work on this concept, and in 1879, the light bulb was commercialized. Thomas Edison most popularly gets the credit for it, but it was a small group of men, and so many people wanted it, right? But a few people gathered in the lab day after day, failure after failure, to grind in a way that you and I would walk into rooms, slip on a switch, and there would be light. We know that light isn't new in the 1800s. God created it, and he used it to separate all of the darkness, and we've had it. And after that, there would be many facets in which people would light the way to move forward. But the light bulb was an absolute game changer. And now it's actually such a normal in our life that it's a novelty when the power goes out and we have to go find a candle or a flashlight. It's like an adventure in our homes when the power goes out. So I just have to ask some questions today. What are we wrestling with today? What are we willing to step into the lab in a way that when we wake up, the world would be better because of the way we approach our day-to-day living? Oh, we have chosen to rethink Christmas. It's what we do around here because we believe it's part of this conversation. That if the people of God believe that Jesus changes everything, then we ought to approach the holidays in a way that allows people to turn on the lights to their dark world and see something different. Jump in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 this morning. As you're getting to Matthew chapter 7, we're using the word gift in the Gospel of Matthew to explore this section on receiving and extending greater gifts. If you're in your ESV Bible, you're going to see this gift word show up five different occasions within the context of the scriptures. And the first one is Matthew chapter 2. I just want you to know that gift giving is not original to our generation. It's been going on for a long time. In Matthew chapter 2, the wise men chose to give gold, frankincense and myrrh to King Jesus, the baby, and it was gift giving was long before then. But Jesus steps up in the book of Matthew and kind of gives us a glimpse into greater gift giving. You heard it last week from Keith. Matthew chapter 5, that we ought to leave our gifts at the altar, go reconcile ourselves with God and with man, and that in Christ there is a greater gift to be received and extended. It's the gift of relationship. Today in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to see a gift of transformation. Next week, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to look at the powers of the world and see how Jesus gives a greater gift, that in him there is authority and healing. And in Matthew 23, as we wrap up this series, we're going to see that there is some cautions to those of us who know Jesus not to get in the way of anybody receiving the greatest gifts of the gospel. So we jump in this morning to Matthew chapter 7, asking Jesus, how in the world do we become a people who receive greater gifts and give greater gifts? Look at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. At this point in Matthew chapter 7, we're in a conversation where Jesus is introducing his followers to his kingdom. The way it's going to look while Jesus has authority. And as he's kind of getting near the end of this address, he talks to you and I about how we ought to converse with him. How life in Christ ought to be moving. Do you see it in the text? Look what happens here. He says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. That there is pursuit on our part and response on God's part. I love this. He says three times just to grab our attention, ask and it will be given, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. That there is pursuit, that you and I have to step into this realm where we pursue Jesus. But he turns right back around and repeats himself in verse 8. The interesting part of verse 8, though, is that he says, for everyone. And this is important when we're talking about giving and extending and receiving greater gifts. This is for everybody. Nobody's exempt from getting to know who Jesus is and what Jesus can do in transforming their life. But you and I both know when we shoot at the target of everyone, sometimes that becomes so impersonal that it hits nobody. That's not who Jesus is. Jesus says this is for everyone, and then he moves the conversation from everyone to everyone who asks receives, and the one. Jesus cares about the one. That one may be you, or that one may be the person that you know, care for, and love, or even at times hate, that Jesus wants you to have the opportunity to extend a greater gift to. One of these gifts where they would know and you would know that you can, in Christ, pursue God. That he's available to you, that you can live in conversation, that you can live in his presence, and you can boldly walk in and say, I have a question. I'm here again seeking. I'm knocking. God, show up, and we can expect him to respond. Look at verse 9. Or which one of you, if his sons ask him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If we are good at giving gifts, if we try to value people in giving gifts, like when you set the Thanksgiving table, when you're walking through the holidays, my guess is that at most people's Thanksgiving table, there is a dish for everyone who is invited that values them. It's their favorite dish. And we try to set the table in a way that values those who will gather around it. If you're that good, if you're willing to do that, then why wouldn't God be that way? Jesus has some things on his mind when he says, hey, if you've got a stone, or if you ask for a fish, why would I give you a stone? If you ask for a fish, why would I give you a serpent? What happens here is Matthew chapter 4. Do you remember when Jesus was in the wilderness? And one of his temptations was the evil one saying, hey, turn this stone into bread. And his response was, no, 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 there is only one who sustains life. There is only one who gives greater gifts, and it is God himself. And in him alone I will pursue, and I will expect a response that is life-giving. Jesus is right back there, knowing that when we walk with God, we have the greatest gift. Right after that, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus calls his disciples and a bunch of fishermen, a bunch of lay people, and he says, hey, I'm not going to keep you in this occupation. I am going to transform you in a way that you will become fishers of men. He gives them purpose. He gives them identity. If you long to give your kids and your grandkids worth, value, purpose, a calling, how much more do you think the God of the universe, who has in Christ done everything possible to meet us where we're at, how much more would that God long to transform the way we experience the holidays this year? Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. What more could that look like? The text goes on. In verse 11, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who seek him? Okay, guys, let's just admit it. Last minute shopping. We dread it. But even in the dread of doing whatever shopping we're going to do for the holidays, there's still this thought in our head of, I hope this values them when I give it to them. If you and I, who are as selfish and sinful and evil as we are, if those thoughts go through our head of like, man, I just hope this gift, when they unwrap it, values the recipient of it. If we long for that, don't you think that God is hoping that when you gather for Thanksgiving this year, that people would see the favor in which God's hand is upon them? Don't you think that God would love for your holidays to be in pursuit of Jesus, and that when people walk out of your gatherings and your time together, they would say there's something different about the way that group of people, that person lives? If we who are human long to value people, how much more would the God whom created us and has went to the lengths of the earth to redeem us, how much more would that God long to give us good, greater, and the greatest gifts? And how much more would that God long to use you in a way that other people would get to experience good, greater, and the greatest gifts? You notice at the end of this in verse 11, it says, Father who is in heaven gives good things to those who ask him. You might want to circle that word ask and draw a line back up to the top where we started in verse 7-8, because this is a pursuit language. This isn't about just asking and God giving. This is about the greatest part of the gifts that we experience is when we pursue Jesus and live into the response that he gifts us with. The conversation goes on in verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You've heard this golden rule, if not once a thousand times, right? You know that Jesus isn't the first person to throw the golden rule out. This is something that Jesus had heard growing up as well. And it won't be the last time this thing gets used. And Jesus is just using common language to grab hold of our attention and say, hey, you know, like, treat people the way you want to be treated. But Jesus is going to extend this conversation. This is just the beginning of him saying, you should feel welcome to pursue me, and I will respond to you. But at the end of this, he makes a key phrase note that says, just so you know, it's this type of living where you would receive the greatest gift and you would extend the greatest gift. That's what the law and the prophets hang their hat on. He's foreshadowing what Matthew will record later in Matthew chapter 22. And he says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. As you and I consider walking through Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the new year this year, do we have the love and the pursuit of God on our hearts and on our minds? And are we willing to live that out in a way that other people would experience life at a different level? I just want you to know that the gospel isn't just words on the lips of God's people. The gospel is just the way we live, and it's real. And sometimes what we ask for, it doesn't get responded to in the way that we would like, and other times it just makes sense, and sometimes it makes sense over time, but not always. I just want to share with you, catch you up on a quick family conversation, just to use as an illustration of how this stuff works. We live in pursuit of God, and sometimes he asks us to take a step. A step into places that we don't know where we're stepping. And Andreas has been in this conversation with us as a church. You know Andreas, he serves as our West Venue worship leader. And we've been in conversation over the past few months. And he's just been saying, I feel like God is calling me to something different. Not sure exactly clear what that looks like, but I need to step out of vocational ministry that I'm drying up in this season doing that, and I need to step out and see what God has next for me. And so you look at Andreas and you say, of course. That's just the type of stuff that happens. Let us walk alongside of you in that, because we would hope that other people would walk alongside of us in the way that we wrestle with what's next in life. And so I want you to know that there is absolutely nothing in character or integrity in marriage with Andreas and Elizabeth. They're in a great place. But we want them to experience even greater gifts. And at this season, he's saying, I need to step out of vocational ministry and step into a different season. And so Andreas is going to be with us through the end of the year, and then we'll be making another pivot to see what God has in front of us as a church and them as a couple. But we're thankful for their leadership and what they have done to help grow us as a church in this season, though brief, not insignificant whatsoever. It's just part of the gospel, right? We pursue, God responds, we follow. And we trust that God would give even greater gifts to those who live in obedience to him. Look at verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. Can I just throw a caution flag up for us? If the way that you're going to walk through the holidays this year looks like the majority rule, like this is just how everybody does it, you're probably not receiving and extending the greater gifts. People probably aren't going to walk out of your gatherings and say, man, there's something different about those people. They have received a gift that I've yet to experience. You see it in the text, right? It's a narrow gate. And that gate, you can walk through it. You can have just another set of holidays this year. But it will just lead to further complications and confusion and, well, the scriptures tell us, destruction. That people are looking for something more. They want hope and joy, peace, love, and faithfulness to fill their holidays. And they've tried everything else. And, well, maybe this is the year where we would take the narrow gate in a way that we haven't yet taken it, in hopes that people wouldn't find destruction, but rather life. Look at verse 14. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I know. The holidays are difficult. I always call them the great magnifier. They make the highs higher and the lows lower. And I know that a lot of us will go to a lot of work to make sure that the holidays are meaningful. But I would just encourage you to put a litmus test out there and gauge the level of difficulty in which you will walk through the holidays at a spiritual level. And if it's just going to be the same old, then don't expect a transformative experience. Do you see it in the text? For the gate is narrow and the way is what? Hard. It's not easy. Pursuing Jesus isn't always easy because the answers that he gives us aren't always easy answers. They call something out of us. He says, but it's those who are willing to walk that harder road, that place is the place that leads to life. But those who find it are few. So here's three questions that I'm pondering as I walk into the holidays at the Myers house. And I would just offer them to you. How will you intentionally narrow our Christmas in a way that leads to life? What's going to wake up your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, your extended family in a way that just says, I might want to pursue the holidays the way that they pursue them. How will you intentionally narrow the way? Are we willing to be among the few that bring hope to the many? A couple guys went into the lab day after day after day to grind in a way that we could flip on a switch and there was light in dark rooms. Many people wanted it. Many people wanted the world to have light, but few went and dug for it. Are you willing to be among the few that will bring hope to the many? This last question. On January 31st, project out a little bit. Start dreaming a little bit. On January 31st, 2021, will the world we're called to influence be different because of the way we celebrated Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the New Year? Or will that season just go in the trash with the rest of the wrapping paper? God is calling us to a greater experience, a way that we would live with Jesus and gift Jesus to other people. And as a church, we've said that we're going to partner with Operation Christmas Child. And many of you have picked up a box. And some of you haven't yet had that experience. Go out to our lobbies and pick up a box and fill it. And that will go around the world along with the gospel journey to help people get to experience the reality that we can pursue Jesus in a way that he will respond to us. That he's from a God who gives great gifts. Others of you have had a year where you're saying, I just want to be tangible. I have resources that I want to give away. And I just want to encourage you this year that what we're doing is we're doing what everybody's doing in 2020. We're looking, pivoting, shifting, and saying, what is going on at the local, the national, and the international level with our missionary partners? Where is God moving? Where is there a need? Where is there a dream? And what we're going to do is, as the church rallies together and gives resources, we're just going to assess those situations, and we're going to put those resources directly toward our local, national, and international mission partnerships. And so if you're saying, hey, I want to gift this year the kingdom in that capacity, just make sure however you turn in that money, you label it Rethink Christmas, and the leadership will make sure that that ends up moving the kingdom forward in those capacities. This is for everyone. We saw it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. This is for everyone, but it's also for the one. It's also for you and me. And what will we do this year? What is God laying on your heart, in your family? What conversation do you need to have? What neighbor do you need to minister to? What coworker do you need to interact with in a way that transforms the way they experience the greater gifts. How are we going to amplify gift giving in a way that people say Jesus is approachable? He wants to be with me. He's this dude I can have a conversation with. He's the one whom I could trust my life with to heal and restore and transform. Keith shared this with us last week, and I want to share this with us again. Tension demands a response. The holidays are full of all sorts of tension, and we certainly live in a time where the world is tense, and tension demands a response. And as the people of God, we have to ask the question, how will we respond? And my hope is that you, with great boldness, are living a life that reflects Matthew chapter 7, where you will just go ask and dream and seek and knock and beg God to show up in big ways this year that would transform the way you receive Christmas and the way you gift Christmas to those that God has placed in your path. Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for meeting us where we are. Father, we know we're human, and on our best days, we're capable of okay things, and on our worst days, we're an absolute nightmare. And yet, you say in Matthew chapter 5 that we as your children are the light of the world. And that as the light of the world, we ought to live in a way that other people would see the way we live, our good deeds, our good interactions, our good gifts that we give, and they would not be impressed by us, but they would turn and see the glory of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, Father, help us to live in a way that your light shines, that light bulbs would be turned on and dark rooms would be illuminated with your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.